So here we are, at the beginning of another Feast of Tabernacles, a time to step away from the world along with all its problems and worries, and focus on the soon coming millennium. A few years ago, I gave a sermonette on technology during the millennium, and I wondered whether there was anything else I could add to it this year. Then a few weeks ago, we had a sermon, which was given by Mr. Bowles, where he quoted from a Worldwide News article detailing Mr. Armstrong's recent trip to Australia and the ministerial meetings that he had conducted there. In that, there was a small snippet which really got me thinking. Mr. Armstrong began by explaining the overview of God's purpose in giving mankind physical existence. God gave humans a temporary consciousness for a time of character building. The material goods and physical knowledge we accumulate during this time will be of no use to us in the kingdom of God. All we will take with us is the character that we build during this brief physical existence. Godly character is the qualifier for life. That really is something to meditate on. Sure, we all know the expression that you can't take it with you when you die, referring to the physical possessions and the wealth that people spend their lives accumulating. But the physical knowledge that we learn during this age will be of no use to us in the kingdom of God either. We tend to refer to computer technology as IT, or information technology. And it was the creation and rapid growth of the computer that led to the transition from the nuclear age in the 1940s through to the space age of the late 50s and 60s to the current information age. So rather than looking at possible technologies of the future, what I'd like to do today is look at the information part, as this really highlights why it's not only today's technology that is unfit for the millennium, but also why today's physical knowledge will be of no use to us either. The start of the millennium will usher in a new information age, but it will be completely different to the current one. Information itself is what knowledge is based on. With teaching and learning, it becomes understanding. And then, with experience, it becomes part of wisdom. As he said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Although in this age, I'm sure some top chef is probably doing so and charging a fortune for it. To start, let's take a brief look at the current information age. First off, the current age was prophesied to be like this. Just put in your notes Daniel 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. If ever there was a scripture that sums up this age, then this one would have to be near the top. On average, over 50 billion miles are flown each year in commercial aircraft. That sounds like a lot. But there were just under 300 billion miles travelled on British roads alone last year. And that despite the reduction of traffic due to all COVID lockdowns and such like. On an island that is only 80,000 square miles in area. So I think it's safe to say that many are running to and fro. But what about knowledge? In the booklet, Are We in the Last Days, Mr. Armstrong wrote, there was little advancement in human knowledge and material progress until after the invention of the printing press in 1450. Printing made possible the spread and diffusion of knowledge. This diffusion expanded, but slightly, until the middle of the 19th century. Most modern inventions and facilities have appeared since AD 1850. The increase in knowledge and invention of mechanical facilities has multiplied with constantly increasing momentum since 1850. Knowledge has been increased at a breathtaking rate in the last 150 years. Indeed, it was claimed that the world's fund of knowledge had doubled during the 1960s, although this increase was largely in the areas of medicine, science, and technology. It is exceptionally difficult to quantify exactly how much knowledge there is out there, and some have speculated that knowledge had gone from growing at a rate of doubling every century to every 25 years, by the end of the 1960s. With the increased use of the internet, especially in the last 10 years, and the rise of artificial intelligence systems, there has become a shift to focusing on data itself, the raw information, rather than knowledge of that information, simply because there is too much of it. At present, the total amount of data stored digitally is doubling every 2 years. I won't overwhelm with too many big numbers because they are so big that they are hard to comprehend, but on an average day, there are 1.1 trillion megabytes, or 1 exabyte as is known, of data created, and very little of that is ever deleted. So where has all this got us, and why? Well, how many times have we heard Mr. Armstrong say, "Now for the first time in human history, the weapons of mass destruction have been produced that can erase all humanity from the earth." Something that ties up very clearly with, "And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved alive," from Matthew 24, verse 22. As far as why is concerned, let's turn to a very well-known passage in Romans 1. And we'll start reading from verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Drop down to verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In this end time, mankind has once again rejected God and takes great pleasure in doing so. With all the information that they have acquired, the ability to see what was previously invisible, the very Godhead being visible through the creation, they dismiss it, and instead come up with theories that range from the sublime to, quite frankly, the ridiculous, to try and quantify a creation without a creator. Now more than ever, mankind is without excuse. So what is God's plan for man's wisdom? We have often read the passage in Ezekiel about the king of Tyre. Let's turn to Ezekiel 18 and just read the first few verses, addressing the prince of Tyre. Ezekiel 28, verse 18. Verse 1. "The word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not a god. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slays you. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. So how should it have been? And how will this new information age be built? Well, that passage we read earlier in Romans shows the key. And we will be the ones that will be going to teach it. First, we will be able to show the creation and how it points to God as the creator. Then we will teach them of God and to glorify him and be thankful, worshipping the creator rather than the creation. And then we will ensure that God is retained in the knowledge or the organized education. Just put in your notes, well-known passage in Psalms 111 verse 10, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Once this foundation is in place and maintained, then and only then will people be able to be truly wise, even at a physical level. Physical knowledge is important, but unless it is based on the foundation of the knowledge of God, it is meaningless and of no use. The current information age is built on misguided science, material knowledge, but with a bias against the Creator. It is the result of Adam having taken it upon himself to decide what was good and evil. It wasn't the knowledge itself that's evil. God wanted man to have knowledge, but he never intended for man to be able to decide what was good or evil for himself. Had Adam not taken of that tree, but rather taken of the tree of life, he would have received the Holy Spirit and would then have spent a life learning and gaining knowledge, but on the foundation of what God defined as good and evil. He wouldn't have been kicked out of the Garden of Eden and would have had the ability to ask the Creator himself if he'd had a question about something physical. And this is how the next information age will be. There will be no need for the likes of Google processing 100,000 internet searches per second and then returning an overwhelming amount of data where the first item isn't necessarily the correct one, but rather the one where the owner paid the most money. And this leads me to another interesting difference between the current information age and the one to come, the accuracy of the information. The current age should really be called the misinformation age. Some of this misinformation is intentional, with people trying to cause fear and uncertainty in order to sway things like the market. Some of it is not intentionally wrong, but people pushing their own theories when they've only heard part of a story. And then there are things that are changed over time as knowledge increases. It wasn't too long ago that people thought the Earth was at the center of the universe and all the other planets revolved around it. When our cottage was originally built in 1755, potatoes were forbidden in France as a food source because they were thought to cause leprosy. A little bit more recently, in the 1930s, smoking cigarettes prevents sore throats and eases digestion and is therefore good for your health. Well, that didn't age very well. Then at the very dawn of this current information age, when we were at school, we were taught that eggs were dairy and that only animals had DNA. Plants had RNA. These things are now laughable with our ever-increasing knowledge. It's interesting to note that the information used in the Bible to describe things, water, oil, plants growing from seeds, and even the seasons, remain just as valid today as they did back when they were written. Unlike today, that knowledge isn't going to change. I'm sure people are going to learn more as the millennium goes on, and I suspect that the buildings and technologies at the end of the millennium will be somewhat improved over those at the beginning, but the base information will be the same, and it will be true, pure, and consistent. There will be no misinformation, because if there is any doubt about something, then the people will be able to talk directly with a God being and get the facts, but always built on the foundation, on the knowledge of God. A simple example of the difference between the two ages: if you were to ask a well-educated doctor or nurse to explain how the human body works in one sentence, you'll probably get a response something like this, which I found on the internet. The human body is a complex structure made up of over 60 chemical elements, including carbon, hydrogen, zinc, and other elements, all working in tandem with some unknown, unseen force that drives the human body. In the new information age, we will be able to expand this and explain that previously unknown, unseen force that drives the human body. Turn, if you would, please, to Jeremiah. And we'll read a scripture pointing to this new age. Jeremiah 31. And we'll start reading verse 31 to 34. "Behold, the days come, saith the Eternal, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Eternal. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Eternal, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Eternal. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." So in conclusion, what really is the knowledge of the Eternal? When we think of the term, the knowledge of the Eternal, we tend to think of things like God's law, the Ten Commandments, the plan of God, or just living the way. But it's way more than that. And when men choose to decide for himself, or when man chose to decide for himself what was good and evil, he cut off himself not only from God, but also from the knowledge of God that he would have shared. In this age, we have science to try and answer questions like how big the universe is or how it works. And then at the other end of the spectrum, how the atoms work and what powers them. That unknown, unseen force that drives the human body. Only God can reveal these things. Man's science doesn't have a chance because it is built on the wrong foundation and has been ever since Adam chose the wrong tree. Last Sabbath we heard a sermon which was given by Mr. Bowles previously, where he referred to a passage in Isaiah and made the comment that this passage will undoubtedly be read during the feast. Well, it really is the conclusion of this topic, so let's turn back a few pages to Isaiah 11, and it's probably a good idea to keep a marker here for the rest of the week, as I doubt this will be the last time it will be read. In Isaiah 11, we'll just read verses 6 to 9. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Eternal, as the waters cover the sea.